Thing X is bad for me here, therefore it must be bad for anyone everywhere.
I would be much, much happier letting Colorado fall into a communist hellscape, as long as that meant that I also didn't get drugged down with them.
Not because it's actually affecting me and we need to protect ourselves, but because I'm tired of hearing about it. That's why we have to crack down on it.
And anything you do to try to fix it, short of flying over there and spoon-feeding that child yourself, may not actually even help. Philosophers.
Philosophers.
So, David, what are we talking about today?
We're going to talk about laws.
Again?
When do we ever stop?
True.
We could just make a law show, but we shouldn't because we're... Never mind.
More of a contract at this point.
So, specifically, the scope of the law.
Jurisdiction.
The scope of laws. Yes, jurisdiction. Sorry, I'm using programmer words when I should use lawyer words, even though they mean the same
namespace
thing.
Of law.
legal namespaces.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, so, specifically, the pros and cons and the reasons we feel so strongly about local laws versus global laws. And again, global laws being kind of a programmer term as well, but also not really because...
Don't exist.
Well, yeah, global laws arguably don't exist. But it's like the logical conclusion of if you don't want a law to be local, you do want it to be global. I think we can just come out hot with that and say, if you're the kind of person who wants something to be like a federal law in America, you actually just want it to be a global law.
Yeah.
Because the reason that people want laws to apply to the entire country is because they want them to apply everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. Their nosiness and need to compel others is so strong that they need to be able to sleep at night.
It knows no bounds.
It knows no bounds. And they need to fall asleep at night knowing that everyone that they'll never meet is held to a similar standard that they think is right.
Right. Glad we solved that.
Glad we solved that. Yeah. Sounds like a personal problem.
Yes.
Ooh, that brings up an interesting side case that we'll wait till later to deal with, I guess. But the reality is that no law is unlimited in scope. Like, I don't think there is a law that is written that is universally applicable right now. I mean, the obvious one is countries. Different countries have different laws.
Right. Why do we even have different countries if we all want to live the same way? Spoiler, right. We don't want to live the same way. That's why we have different countries.
Right.
Yep.
And then even further down from there, in some countries, it do kind of be that way where there's one set of laws and that is just it. But most countries
usually.
Right. Most countries realize that customs change within their borders and people have different expectations about how things should be. And they allow some flexibility on certain issues.
And let's talk about the classic divide when it comes to how people live their lives differently and hold people to different standards. Urban versus rural. Mm-hmm. Right? City slickers live differently than farmers.
Yep.
You know, the classic example that comes to my mind about this divide is views about weapons.
Mm-hmm. Well, animals too. Just the view on animals is entirely different.
True. That's also true. But particularly weapons, like to most city folks, weapons are used for crime.
Yeah.
Right? Only a criminal would have a weapon.
Or the police.
That's what I said. So, you know, so there's no reason to have one because, well, and in some places that it might actually be logical to say that, I think. Like, it is conceivable that a place could be so densely populated that there's just no safe way to use a certain type of weapon, i.e. a gun.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, fine. What are you doing with that? Because, you know, you can't possibly use that without hurting bystanders.
Right.
So it is just less safe for you to have that than to not, even though you take other risks by not having one. But outside the city or in smaller cities, this doesn't really make as much sense. And there are many reasons why you may need to have a weapon, usually not to protect yourself from people, but from animals, or to protect your property from animals, and property, your property might be other animals.
Right. Exactly. And I guess that's one of the biggest differences, is just thinking about how you, how people see a thing, you know, and just like where its applicability would be. And that's a practical thing. So I'm, that's where I'm a little bit more okay with like restrictions. And I've always kind of held, even though I am a very freedom loving person, the fact of the matter is that anytime you get more than one person in the room and they have a difference of opinion, or in any place, and they have a difference of opinion, it is always better for them to be able to voluntarily choose to cooperate, even if that involves one or both of them making some concessions, than it is for one of them to just tyrannize the other, right?
Yeah, and the important thing is that they both agree, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing, yeah. And if a bunch of people want to live together and do something a certain way that would be considered repressive or, you know, authoritarian by other people's standards, doesn't matter. They chose to live there and they want to do it their way.
Yeah. Because if in reality, if two of you, like say for example, that, you know, you and I lived in an apartment together and you had a peanut allergy, well, that's not my problem.
Mm-hmm.
But we may come to an agreement that I'm just not going to have peanuts because I don't want to have to find a new roommate. So
Or you're going to live by certain standards of cleanliness, to make sure
I'm not doing that. I'm just not going to have peanuts. But like,
sure. Well, that could be one way that you could comply with that standard, is by just not having them. But the point is that things need to be adequately sanitized to protect me from the deadly peanuts.
Right. And the important part here is that you're not. Here's the biggest difference. We can set a locally scoped policy for the boundaries of our apartment,
mm-hmm,
that this is a peanut free zone.
Sure.
And you're not making me not have peanuts. I'm willingly giving up the right to peanuts in the scope of the apartment.
In the apartment. And if you want peanuts, you can go somewhere else and have them.
Yeah. Later on, I might decide, you know what? Peanuts are that important to me. I'm going to move somewhere where there are no peanuts.
Or have them in a different context. Go out somewhere and have something with peanuts in it.
Right.
And don't bring it back home.
Yeah. Exactly. And so that's the most important operative point there, is that it's a choice. We collaborated. I was involved in the collaboration, and then we decided this. And this is the most ideal case, the most ideal case is that we both 100% agree and consent to the agreement that we set forth. It would be a little bit different if there were four people in the apartment and three of them, one was allergic to peanuts, two agreed with a person that was allergic to peanuts that, yep, probably shouldn't have those around, and the fourth one said, well, I don't care what you want. I reserve the right to eat peanuts in my home,
mm-hmm,
right? Then it becomes more complicated. Do the three have the right to dictate that the fourth not have peanuts ever and try to force them to? That's different,
mm-hmm,
you know? And in an ideal situation, they would all agree. And in the event that they don't, then we need to have ways to resolve the disagreement. But hopefully it can be one in which that everyone does agree. But again, that's different because the next door neighbor in the original case doesn't have any say at all. It's like, you don't even live here, so you don't get a say.
Right.
Now, if only we thought about laws the same way,
mm-hmm,
but we don't. We declare, we have a system, and a lot of countries have systems kind of set up so that we can have laws scoped to specific places that should involve all of the people that are pertinent in that place.
Right, but we have hierarchies.
We have hierarchies.
Which, again, hierarchies of laws also kind of make sense, right? Because if a global law can just be overridden by a local law, then it isn't really a law.
Right.
Right, because people in the local jurisdictions are still just choosing whether they want to follow that, so they might as well just make it a local law or not. So it makes sense that they would need to supersede it. Yeah, the problem is that people take their worldview and how they view a certain thing and decide, okay, well, this is thing X is bad for me here, therefore it must be bad for anyone everywhere. We should make this a global law.
Right. And it's usually never said that way, but how it's usually said is something to the effect of, no one should ever have to worry about X.
Mm-hmm.
And what they really mean, and what that really, where it's really coming from, is I should never have to, but I can imagine myself being anyone else, even though they don't, because they are keeping the same mindset the whole way through.
Right. They assume everywhere is like where they are. Yeah.
Yeah. And there are good reasons for this, right? So, like, slavery's the great example here.
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah, the place where I was going to go is actual, like, human rights.
Yeah.
You know, freedom of speech, and things along that vein. Yeah. Slavery, you know, criminal rights, things like things that protect you from authoritarianism, right? Things that restrict government overreach. Yeah, well, these are good candidates for global laws.
Yeah, but one of those three things you mentioned is not the government doing it to you, though.
Hmm.
I mean, it is now, but like it wasn't then so much. You know, freedom of speech prevents the government from preventing you from speaking. Yeah. Other people still can,
mm-hmm.
because this happens all the time, you know, in softer ways too than just laws. If I were to walk into a kindergarten school for some reason and start yelling obscenities, the kindergarten teacher may remove me from the premises.
Sure.
You know, that's an infringement on my speech, but that's one that most people would look at and go, yeah, all those affected agree that A, I have no reason to be there because I don't have a kid there.
Right. You don't have a right to be there.
I don't have a right to be there. And then B, all of the parents whose kids are there definitely would want to have a say as to whether or not I could do that, you know, but and same thing with...
Right, you're disrupting the purpose of the place. Yeah.
Right. Slavery's different, though. That's person on person. And in that way, we're deciding that all persons have this right. And so you cannot infringe on that right in the same way. Like, it is actually, I think, still illegal in this country to have someone voluntarily be a slave.
Right.
Which is weird, because I'm not... I know it sounds like I'm
teeing up... You can volunteer for things. You can volunteer, but you can't, like... give yourself away as property.
Yeah. Although, what's the difference?
If you are truly, totally dedicated to somebody and doing whatever they say, then there is no functional difference. But you always have the legal ability to change your mind about it.
Right.
Like, actually turning yourself over into slavery, you don't have the ability to go back.
Yeah. So, in a nutshell, the way I think this actually works is that the government will not enforce this type of contract, A. And then B, any attempt of you to enforce this, what we see to be an unlawful contract, i.e. slave gets up one day and says, I'm out of here, I'm done with this. You use a gun to keep them there. That's kidnapping now.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah, and I was going to say, like, but yeah, I think we have other candidates for human rights-based global laws that are not just protecting you from the government. Yeah, like the most cliche first thing that everyone thinks of when they think about the rule of law, murder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, fine, that should be a global law.
Right, and to be clear, murder is non-consensual killing.
Right. Certain exceptions apply.
Certain exceptions apply. But anyway, I digress. But yeah, if the hierarchy of laws was such that, and hear me out, it was actually, in the United States at least, supposed to be that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at the Constitution of the United States, it clearly says, I think it's the 10th Amendment.
10th Amendment.
You know, anything that is not clearly set out as a jurisdiction of the federal government is left up to the states, which, if you were to follow that train of thought, anything that's not covered in the state constitutions, if the state constitutions were to be inherited from the U.S. Constitution, which they essentially, a lot of them are modeled very similar.
They're almost the same, yeah.
It goes the same. The state has the right to make decisions affecting matters of the state, which affect everybody, and then it goes down to county, then local, so on, so forth. Mm-hmm. And you can create, this is where the concept of an incorporated place comes from.
Mm-hmm.
All that actually means, like, what is a corporation? A corporation is just a non-human entity we treat for all intents and purposes like a person,
mm-hmm.
but its decisions are not made by itself. They're made by voting of all the incorporated members. Yeah.
Yeah.
So you, if you decide, like, there are places that are unincorporated where there is no local government because there's just not enough people. And they don't really...
Except for Las Vegas, where there are enough people, but there's still no government.
That is a really interesting example, yes, where they voted
for a different time. Check out CGP Grey, our weekly CGP Grey shout-out.
Yeah, where they voted to become an officially unincorporated, unofficial place.
Right.
Fascinating. I wish more places would just do that.
Because tax is bad.
Tax is bad. That's exactly right. And yeah, so if you do decide that, look, there are enough people here that we are having issues and we're tired of and the way this should happen is that you look up to the governing body above you and the governing body looks at the problem and goes, this doesn't affect everybody in my jurisdiction. It's a local issue. Y'all figure it out. And then they can incorporate and appoint some people to make those decisions. And they're funded by those people and so on and so forth. That's how it should be. Now, the issue is that it seems that no one's ever bothered to even bring that up. I don't even know how many 10th Amendment Supreme Court cases have actually ever been heard, which is a whole other interesting problem because the next question is, does this even apply to courts? I mean, and if it does, are they even incentivized to rule on it? You know, it's kind of counterintuitive. Because arguably it should be applied to courts because the whole job of the courts is to interpret the laws and make rulings.
Decide what the law actually is. Yeah.
Yeah. We're going to take a very specific instance and apply it to this abstract law and see what the result should be, right? That's what a court does. Well, if there is a local law and the case gets resolved in such a way that makes sense to the locality, all that needs to happen is someone, and this is the crazy part to me about how this all works, you don't even have to be attached to anyone in that local occurrence to appeal the decision up. But you have to appeal it on grounds of a law that's been established at a higher level and saying that this ruling actually violates a higher law, which I don't necessarily have an issue with, except that the prevalence and scope of the U.S. federal code is massive.
Right.
You know, and hilarious.
You can spend an entire career studying one section of the federal code.
Yeah. And they're hilarious. There is an entire top tier level section. And when I say that, I mean, there is a section on the military, right? That's its own section.
Right.
The executive branch. Oh, and railroads.
Yeah.
It has its own, and Department of Transportation separately, but specifically railroads its own section. Because at one point in time, I suppose, and we all know why this actually happened, robber barons, but that's not the point. But it apparently, and again, it's never been challenged, but as it stands, railroads are something that affect literally everybody everywhere in the U.S. So everyone gets a say, even though that's ludicrous to me. But that's how it is. And it's been that way forever. And no one's ever bothered to tamp down on it because, again, what Supreme Court is going to say, I don't have jurisdiction here.
Right.
It is not the... Why would
no
they
No one
do
ever
that?
Turns down power. Yeah.
Right. Especially the Supreme Court, who also just takes power sometimes. It's one of the only branches of government that just has decided that it gets to do something. And when asked, what makes you think you can do that?
Me.
We, the people that interpret the Constitution, interpreted that it says this. Good luck messing with that. Unless you pass a law, which we can also just magically
But you can just decide that that's unconstitutional because no one can stop you.
Yeah. Now,
legally.
Right.
And physically, they could.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's process ways. Like, if the Supreme Court went absolutely rogue, there's a very easy way that the government could fix it. We're going to just grow the Supreme Court to be more people. We're going to appoint a bunch of people that we know are going to vote a certain way, push them through in a day, and then do it again. And then you're just screwed. But
I think it is possible to impeach justices as well if they just actually go rogue.
I don't actually know that it is. I'm not. It might be.
I think it's really hard, but I think it's possible.
It also might be something that can only
be
done
internally. It's never been done. Okay.
I don't know.
I'm going to research that while we continue.
Yeah. So the point I'm going to get at, though, is that there's all these there's this layer cake of laws, and ideally, most cakes get smaller the higher up you go. Like, the scope of what's covered, it covers more people, but the things that affect literally everyone are smaller. So something like national defense obviously affects everybody within the border. Maybe not as directly as certain things, but matters of national security do affect everybody, you know. if we are at war, the whole country is at war, not just the government. Yep, makes sense. Taxes collected for the operation of the state affect everybody because ideally everybody benefits from the things for which those taxes are collected. Matters of electing representatives to the federal government level affect everybody, you know, and we can go on ad astra about that, but there are a lot of things that arguably don't affect everybody, or they affect people in very, very different ways. And there's an interesting way that other countries handle this. So I think one of the closest things you can look at for how the US federal system exists, you know, if we were like, let's look at Canada, for example. So Canada has a similar setup. There is a federal government in Canada. There are both provinces and territories, which I learned recently are different things. I thought they were the same thing, but they are apparently different. Did you know this?
Hmm.
Territories and provinces in Canada are not the same thing.
Yes, I did know that.
Yeah. I think the difference is that territories don't get to elect representatives.
Right. Territories have no representation in the national government.
Yeah. But in a nutshell, when Canada, the federal government, decided that healthcare is a human right, because that affects everybody, again, they decided.
Mm-hmm.
The way it was carried out, though, is that there was not a federal system set up. Well, there was for funding, but there was a federal system set up to help fund healthcare systems.
Mm-hmm.
But it was up to each province to essentially develop its own, and they do it in very different ways. But even then, that's kind of walking the barrier, you know, because what if a province was to say, we just don't need it?
Right.
You know, we just don't, you know.
How are you going to make them?
How are you going to make them, right? Because if you make them do it, then do they even really have a say? You know, and that's where it's a slippery slope barrier there. And so you kind of have to be picky about what is or isn't a right. And I think that what makes the most sense is that you lean at the federal, like, it would be nice if we could lean at the federal level towards not. And then the places where things are the most necessary, they get applied, because there's always damage caused when laws are added that don't affect you in ways that you didn't expect, you know. And don't get me wrong, even laws that only directly affect and have jurisdiction over a certain amount of people do have an indirect effect too. You know, like if a city, like a large population city, passes a law requiring that all, like, the meat sold in that city be processed to a certain degree, that does affect everyone outside that city, even though the consumption is being done by those inside mm-hmm. the city. But the way you can fix that is people, if they so choose, can leave the city to buy meat and bring it back, for example. But, like, but it still has an effect,
mm-hmm.
you know? But then it kind of becomes pernicious, because if you argue that it has an effect, then that means that they have jurisdiction and can just do it. And then the law just directly applies to you. And I feel like that's kind of a pothole that people fall into sometimes, you know? Like, I think one of the things that I find interesting is, I think you and I had a difference of opinion about the right of states, like whether or not states can recognize other states' concealed carry licenses. Do you remember us having that conversation? I think it was reciprocity laws in Colorado you and I were talking about.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, and you can tell me wrong, this was a long time ago, you took the stance that you thought that it was good that the federal government was making Colorado acknowledge, like, some other states' concealed carry licenses, mm-hmm. like Texas, for example. I didn't care for that too much necessarily, because I felt like if it's the federal government's business to determine whether or not states had rights to determine how other states' citizens could or couldn't carry firearms, that's when I kind of had an issue. So this would mean, like, by it just being in the scope of something for them to decide, it then opens that up for later. If they made a decision that we didn't agree with, they at least had precedent that they had the right to make that jurisdictional ruling in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, and especially since I'm not affected by this, you know, I don't feel like there should be a say there. Like, I would much, much rather give I would be much, much happier letting Colorado fall into a communist hellscape as long as that meant that I also didn't get drugged down with them, or that they weren't allowed to slip all the way into one.
Sure.
But I was drugged down and my freedoms were lost to kind of help keep them afloat. Like, mm-hmm. I reserve the right to cut the rope, you know what I mean? And let it slide off into the ocean. You know what I mean? And I'm sure that I'm not a legal expert. Neither of us are, really. So that may not have been the best argument to make at the time, but the principle of what I'm trying to get at, I think, is still the same, which is that if it doesn't affect me, a body that does have jurisdiction over me and those probably shouldn't be making the decision. Only the body that has jurisdiction over the people who it directly affects should be able to make that decision, right?
Sure.
Again, I don't know that that's a good instance that we want to drill down into and talk about, but...
No, I don't know. I think then it comes down into, okay, but it might affect me if I, like, need to travel through Colorado to get somewhere.
And then it becomes more of a matter of how does jurisdiction actually work? Is it purely geographical, or does it have to do with citizenry?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I can see good arguments for both. A good example, if you're a United States citizen in another country, you, according to the government of the country you're from, have rights. But you're not there.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I understand that, and don't get me wrong, I would directly benefit from that. I would love to go to a country where it's like, oh, the people who live here can't own firearms, but I can, and I do, and I have them with me because I carry my rights with me wherever I go. But when you, I think, actually realize kind of what the manifestation of rights really are, you know, rights are things that we assert don't have to be consented to, but in reality, in kind of a practical case, are consented to by others,
mm-hmm.
right? A right doesn't exist unless we all kind of agree that it does.
Right. Rights don't actually exist.
Yeah. There's just things we agree on. You can't prove
that they exist.
Yeah. And you can make all kinds of, like, axiomatic claims to them, but...
But axioms are all just made up.
Exactly. You know? And then, like, when I look at the inverse case, you know, if a person from a country that outright bans firearms comes to America, I would love for them to be able to own one.
Mm-hmm.
While they're here and carry it around.
Sure.
I guess that leads me to one of the things I absolutely hate the most. Laws that apply to you, even if they can't enforce them until they can.
Yeah.
That one is stinky.
Are we going to talk about income taxes in the United States?
You bet we are. The talk about the queen of not letting go. Oh my God.
The IRS.
One of the only countries, by the way, that does this. So for those of you who aren't in the United States, and actually, I'd be willing to bet most Americans don't even know this is the case.
Mm-hmm.
I may say this wrong, but in a nutshell, in layman's terms, if you are a citizen of the United States and you get a job in another country...
And move there to go do it.
And live there and move there, you can even get citizenship there. But as long as you still hold your U.S. citizenship...
The IRS still wants their cut.
You're on the hook to pay taxes to the United States. Even if you're not benefiting from any of the services right
now. Your income will be calculated on the instantaneous transfer rate every time you get a paycheck of whatever local currency you're being paid in. And they expect you to file a tax return.
Now, it's a lot harder to, I think, practically track. Like, for example...
Right. Like, yeah, if I go get a job in France or something like that... My French employer is not going to be sending a W-2 or 1099 back to the IRS in America for them to know how much I earned from them.
Maybe. It depends on how many employees they have that are U.S. citizens. And this is the other thing.
Well,
does
it?
I think it does.
Or maybe it just depends on whether that French company also has its own affiliations with the United States.
Well, I was also going to say, what does the reciprocity of that look like?
Mm.
How many countries... also forward that responsibility onto their citizens because they don't want to, you know, upset the
deal
US.
With America. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I hate it.
Yeah.
It's so stupid. But it's true. And those reciprocity laws were also, I think, mostly negotiated because people realized that, wait a minute, why would I ever live and work in another country? Because I'm going to be double taxed.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the agreement in the reciprocity deal was that the United States government essentially says, look, they're going to pay us taxes. And we also don't want them being double taxed. So the only way you can get out of paying your taxes in France is to report the taxes that you're paying to the U.S. And France isn't about to hide that from the U.S., mm-hmm. I wouldn't think. And so I think France might compel the French employer to report taxes to them or the U.S. so that the nation of France isn't caught in the middle.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean that that's absolutely the case. I'm sure there are some countries that just tell the U.S. government to get bent. We don't need you anyway. You know?
Or what are you going to do? Go to war over it? Like, over one guy not paying his taxes?
And America's gone to war for less.
That's true.
But you could still be subject to an audit. And I do not think it is beyond the IRS to actually send an IRS agent abroad to go figure out exactly what you did and then charge you for back taxes. Mm-hmm. It's also only affects you if you make over a certain amount, not legally, but practically. But it kind of also be that way for normal taxes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I do think it's absolutely hilarious that there is simply not enough IRS agents to process all of the taxes due. So there's kind of an honor system going on where they randomly audit people hoping it's good enough, like a panopticon.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is if you look at the income, like if you look at the income rates of who gets audited, it's disproportionate, of course.
Of course.
Yeah. Who are they going to audit most? The person that they're most likely going to have to pay out to? No. If you make... I'm genuinely curious how many people that make like at or below minimum wage have ever even been audited.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point? Now, you win that lottery. All right. Let's take a look here through your financial history. You bet you're getting audited. You own a company, you're getting audited. You know, if you make over $1 million a year, you're probably going to get audited at least once in your life because that's where the money is. And why would the agents go anywhere where the money's not? It's almost like they're incentivized to do that.
Well, the thing, well, but not too high though.
No, of course.
Because not. Eventually you have enough money to hire good attorneys to protect you.
Right.
And then even if you're actually evading taxes and they could prove that, the IRS doesn't want to spend the time and effort to have their own attorneys prove that you did. When they can just go after somebody who doesn't have enough money to hire an attorney.
Yeah, it's all about maximizing that dollar value per time, right?
So they want to get right up at the threshold of the guy who just barely can't afford a lawyer to protect himself from the IRS.
Yeah, the single and maybe double-digit millionaires are like prime candidates for that because it sounds like a lot. Like to anybody...
Even less than that, I think.
Oh, for sure. Okay. Quarter million and up. Quarter million to...
Maybe.
2.5 million.
I don't know. I don't have them in front of me. I've seen some IRS audit statistics before.
Oh, well, it might be lower than that.
It's lower than that.
I don't know. But yeah, it do kind of be that way. And this is not the point of this episode, but still, it's BS. But yeah, so in my opinion, it's like, does the U.S. have the right to... The U.S. kind of takes the approach that, you know, we do have the right to exert our laws over our citizens even abroad. And there are some cases where that actually kind of makes a lot of sense. What you don't want to happen is people in your country doing crime tourism to other countries,
mm-hmm.
especially for very heinous things, you know.
Right.
So, I get it, but at the same time, if I had to make a pure decision and err one way or the other, I would say... If I didn't commit it here, it didn't happen. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it. Now, that could lead to some pretty nasty, awful things happening, but hear me out. If those things are permitted by that country, is your issue really with the fact that your country is not enforcing laws outside its borders, or is it really with the country who's not enforcing laws within their borders? And even
then... if it's allowed there, then what's the big deal? Yeah.
Right. And you might still find it morally objectionable. But
people are doing it over there legally all the time, so what's your problem?
Well, yeah, again, they still might find it morally objectionable. But at that point, if you find what someone else across the world that you've never met is doing is a morally objectionable...
What are you going to do? Go to war over it? Like, that's the thing.
Well, if the answer was, I'm going to use my tax dollars and voting block rights to get the young people of my country to go over there and die for it, then sure. Some people are totally okay with that.
Sure.
These are the same people that will call the police instead of just talking to their neighbor about something to resolve a dispute.
Right.
I think they're building that fence just a foot onto my property. I'm going to wait till they get it built and call the police and have the police tear it down and never talk to that person about it. The worst. Don't be that neighbor. Resolve your problems, please.
Even worse than that, my neighbor's playing music too loudly. I'm going to call the police. instead of knocking on their door and asking them to turn it down.
Yeah. Proper path to escalation. I think there was an incident, though, that directly prompted us to do this episode. And it does have to do... Spoiler alert. There's two, actually, things that it has to do... I guess maybe arguably now three. It's becoming more common in the United States for local jurisdictions to refuse to enforce federal laws.
Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting.
Very.
So, there's cases that benefit people of all along the political spectrum. So, on the one hand... If you like your firearms and you think that you should be able to have them and you live in a place where your sheriff agrees with you, which I would hope so because they live in the same place as you and probably have the
ability to enforce laws.
Yeah. And the federal government decides that, hey, that kind of gun that you have with that particular attachment is now a federal crime to own without a license. Get bent, you know?
Right, but no one's going to get me for it, so I still can, though.
Yeah, if something's illegal, but you're not arrested for it, is it really illegal?
Right.
You know, on the inverse, if you happen to be an illegal immigrant in this country, and some places are cool with that, guess what? Those police are not going to turn you over to the feds either.
Right.
So it works both ways. Everybody mm-hmm. wins. It's almost like if we just did this in the first place, we would all be a lot happier.
Yeah, it's almost like these shouldn't be federal laws because clearly the local jurisdictions have different ideas about it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that simple, really. But why is it like that and how can we fix it? I think one of the reasons it be like that is there is just a sheer amount of busybodying going on in this country, made worse by the internet because... If you see a video of something happening, it feels like it's happening down the street.
Mm-hmm.
So like during the Summer of Love, I think in 2020, 2021, when there was like a lot of civil unrest, there actually wasn't that much civil unrest.
No, very isolated.
Very isolated, but everyone talked about it.
Right, it was on the news 24/7.
That was broadcast to everyone. But if you go outside...
Nothing's happening.
Yeah, 99.9% of Americans.
The sun is shining, the birds are chirping, nothing is on fire.
Yes, but everyone's upset over, and don't get me wrong, I'm not even trying to make a claim as to whether or not the things people were upset about were justified to be upset about. It doesn't matter. The reality is that it doesn't bother me. But at a certain point, if I keep seeing it over and over and over again, and everyone I talk to on the internet
starts feeling like a more and more serious issue.
That's, yeah.
Even though it literally will never affect you.
Yeah. Right. But it feels like it does.
We have to start cracking down on this stuff.
Yeah.
But not because it's actually affecting me and we need to protect ourselves, but because I'm tired of hearing about it. That's why we have to crack down on it.
No joke. I think the most pertinent case of this happening too is like abortion's another one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually really pleased with the way that that worked out and turned out with the Supreme Court. And it's not because I think that it should be banned. I'm actually pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I may or may not live in a place that may or may not be super pro-choice, right?
Right.
Don't want to be too doxing, which at this point is actually pretty easy to not get doxed with that because it turns out over half the states also agree there should be some restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree, but you know what? I would much rather there be places that make it more available than others. Mm-hmm. I would, and most people that are really upset about this, I mean, do you really want to gamble that? Because I think that's the other thing too, is that...
Right, if you start playing the game of let's do this as a federal law, what if it doesn't go your way?
Oh, more civil unrest, you right. know? But that goes both ways, you know? So... Just be happy that it went your way where you live, you know?
Right.
And I think this is the other reason. I need to be careful with how I say this. I think that empathy, I don't know the actual difference, I guess. Empathy is one of the most powerful and destructive tools in the human psychology, when utilized.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sick of it. I think that there are way too many people that, to be fair to them, genuinely feel, have emotions mm-hmm. about other people that are wastes of their time. Like, yeah. Good example. I can show you a picture of a child starving to death in Africa, mm-hmm. and you would feel sad. And you know what? Good. You should feel sad.
You should feel sad about that. Mm-hmm.
You should feel sad. You should also be angry at me, I think rightfully so, for showing you the picture when you didn't ask. Because what I've done is put you in a morally compromisable situation where I have the upper hand to essentially lambast you for not making that go away. Even though your decisions in your life up until this point have had done nothing to make that happen,
mm-hmm.
probably. And anything you do to try to fix it short of flying over there and spoon feeding that child yourself may not actually even help.
Right.
But I have robbed you of...
That child may not even exist, actually. I have no way to verify that that's a real picture.
Oh, yeah. I mean, people...
Or that child could have grown up by now or died elsewise or whatever.
Right. And so, there you go. I can already...
And this is why it should be illegal to run those ads where they show you sad animals in cages and play sad music late at night.
Yeah, all those animals are, like, dead now, by the way. Especially yes. the ones in those...
Yeah, have been for years.
Have
yeah.
been for years, right?
But they're the saddest ones they had.
Right. And not to mention that you're putting someone in a position where just because this happens to be in front of you, you feel like you need to do something about it. But logistically, that is the worst way to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
That's like saying that everyone in America needs to go solve everyone in Africa's problems. Meanwhile, everyone in Europe needs to solve everyone in America's problems. Meanwhile, like...
Or we could just solve our own problems.
Yeah.
not to say that charity is bad, again, right? If you want to help causes like that, fine. I'm not going to call you a bad person. But, yeah, like, we have local problems here too, though.
Yeah. Might I suggest a more efficient way of your charity? Like, if you wanted to get...
Right, if you decided, I'm going to, you know, give $50 to help someone who's less fortunate than me... Why not find someone close by you to do that for?
Yes. And
like you can probably, especially if you're in a city, go find a homeless person.
Yeah.
And buy them food. Like you can just do that.
Yeah.
It's way more efficient. More of all of that money that you decide to spend on food is going to make it to food in that person's mouth instead of the bureaucracy of a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care how efficient your favorite nonprofit charity organization is. There's still bureaucracy. All those people are still getting paychecks.
Even if it's a 100% volunteer bureaucracy, there is still overhead.
Right. Having to move that food over there.
The fact that someone spent a bunch of money making an ad for you.
Right. That was money that could have been spent on food to feed people who are hungry.
Right. And don't get me wrong. I get the point of marketing. You spend money to make money.
Right.
I get it. But at the same time, you know... Maybe you could have fixed the problem, or at least for the people that you put in the video,
mm-hmm.
you know. But, I mean, laws are the same way. It's that feeling that, oh, well... And I think that feeling gets exacerbated by the fact that people can meet people who live in areas... Like, if you live in a state that offers... that in which abortions are totally unrestricted... It is not hard to find online support groups of people who are seeking an abortion living in a state in which they are prohibited.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to find because those people are desperate. And I don't think there's anything wrong with people volunteering, paying money to let those people move to go to a place where they can have that done.
Right.
There's anything wrong with
that. Buy them a plane ticket.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of the biggest things that we can do to solve this realistically is I feel like the bifurcation of responsibility is inevitable. I mean, it's evident by the fact that law enforcement itself will just start to refuse to enforce laws, right? This is not ideal because if you are wanted bad enough, there are federal police that will come get you.
Right. Yeah. If you're important enough, they will still get you. Yeah.
Or if you make a big enough of a stink about it, they will still come get you. And asking your
local refusal is a mitigating factor, but it doesn't actually overturn the law.
Yes. And your local sheriff coming to your aid and not enforcing a law are two very different things.
Mm-hmm.
And
Yeah, very few sheriff departments are going to be willing to actually protect you from the federal government.
Yeah, because then you're talking about something entirely... That's borderline civil war behavior at that point, arguably. Or treason.
Probably not treason, but definitely...
Insurrection, maybe, or...
Obstruction of justice.
Yeah. Which they're going to send more federal police to come grab your sheriff and take them with
right,
you.
Right, yeah, now they're just going to arrest your sheriffs for that, yeah.
Yeah. So it's not ideal, but it's better. And I think one of the ways, so, but knowing that this mitigation exists, I do feel like one of the things that might help, and I've said this for a very long time, I think that one of the biggest things we need to change about our culture is this idea that I don't care if no one else here wants it, I have a right to it, and so I need to have it serviced. And I should, in a nutshell, the saying that I was born here, I love it here, but... And ergo, I deserve this here.
No.
No, you don't. Move. Move. And what I'm saying is that I wish that was easier.
Sure.
I would love...
It sucks that it's so hard to move places.
But now that we have all of this connectivity...
It is easier than it ever was, though, yeah.
It's easier than it's... And than it ever was. You can actually make friends that live in the place that you want to live and then go out there and instantly have friends. You could actually get a job in a place that you don't live yet and then move to take that job a lot easier than you used to be able to.
Right.
It is so much easier. A lot of places you can start working for that company remotely and then move there.
Yeah, decide if you even like it first.
Yeah.
You can try before you buy.
Try before you buy.
Mostly.
And yeah, you have to give up comfort. You have to give up familiarity, but you would be doing that. You would be forcing everyone else to do that by forcing them to change to be a way that they don't want to live, just so that you can feel catered to. And the hubris and the arrogance to think that you deserve that is shameful. And I said it for a long time. I don't know if I could make it work, but I 100% am interested in opening up a foundation that offers exchanges.
Yes.
You don't like living where you live. They don't like living where they live. And you really wish you could just switch places.
We can arrange that.
We can make that happen. Because you know what? The people who live in the place that you live that all have decided that they want some kind of law or a policy that you find detestable, you know what they would love to have? Another one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That would love and appreciate the things and benefits, you know, and it all comes down to just us having different subjective appreciations for different things. You know, some of us value the right to carry a firearm everywhere more than the safety that's argued can be guaranteed by abolition of firearms.
Mm-hmm.
Now we can debate all day whether or not that is actually true, but it's not the point. You know, the point is that even if you could prove to me that it was less safe, I'd still rather have it. Like, and I think that's something that people that want to enforce gun control don't understand.
I'm willing to sacrifice some safety.
For freedom. Yes.
Yes. For autonomy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. For personal responsibility.
100%. So it doesn't matter. You can throw statistics to me about how many people die from this all day. And it does not change my mind. You know, I can talk to you all day about how it's not about hunting. It's about tyranny. And you're still not going to change your mind. So how's about life's too short for us to sit and spend decades arguing about it? Why don't you just go live in a place where you can have the thing that you think that you want? Right.
Yeah. The thing is that there's already places where you can have that. Yeah.
Yeah. So let's do that. You know, and I feel like the argument that I hear about this that comes out is, but my nationalism, but my ethno state, that's the argument that I think always gets brought up here. No. I legitimately heard the argument. It's like, well, what if a bunch of like white people decided they wanted to have Whiteyville? Can I say that?
I don't know.
Oh, I'm saying it anyway. I don't care.
I don't care.
Yeah. They want to have Whiteyville, and all of the people there agree that we're not going to sell any homes or anything that to a person who's black or non-white, really.
Sure.
They're all making that choice voluntarily. That's pretty sketch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's pretty gross.
Sure.
You know, so, but is that a thing that affects everybody? at what level of jurisdiction should that start to matter?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a good question. You know, I could say that I would never want to live in a place like that.
No, I don't want to live there.
So it's easy for me to say, well, if they want to go live that way, they can go.
Go do that over there.
Right. But for some reason, a lot of people, and I kind of get it. Like, it sucks to think that, like, can you believe, I feel that way about communism. When I look at a country that is communist and think about all the people that are suffering under the boot of that tyranny, I feel for those people.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to fight really hard not to be like, you know what we should do? We should do a coup. Like, you know, like, right. And if, you know, I guess to be totally true and fair, like, I remember when the whole Hong Kong thing was going on, I was like, you know, if I was a younger man, if I had the resources, I could see myself loading a barge up with maybe or maybe not some firearms and, like, taking a little trip, doing things that would be illegal there that I'm not a citizen of, so I ain't got to worry about the consequences, and just saying, just in case these protests gets a little hairy, oh, these boxes of firearms just happened to fall off my boat. And
yeah, I lost them in a boating accident near the docks.
Near the docks. So, oops. You know what I mean? Like, but that's different. That's me actually doing it, not asking the government to do it. But to be fair, I would have a hard time turning my nose up at the U.S. government toppling a communist dictatorship, even if they were going to install something that I also didn't like. It's better, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to turn your nose up at that and go, well, they shouldn't have intervened, you know, because I know it's what I want. But at the same time, according to my principles, I don't want them to do it.
Right.
If anything, I think it's that. So, you know, I would love to see those people do their own armed insurrection and rise up. And I would be more than happy to help with that. But, you know, don't know. How'd I get on this tangent?
I don't know.
I'm fantasizing about supporting
freeing Hong Kong.
Freeing Hong Kong right now. It's not the worst causes to fantasize about. It's better than trying to feed starving children in America. But anyway. But yeah. The system's there. I just think we don't use it. And I think the ways we can make it better is by just letting people naturally redistribute themselves. Or maybe artificially. Let's grease those skids a bit and help people redistribute.
Mm-hmm.
And then just make it a thing. And just put it out of the American psyche that you need to be the one fixing this for everybody everywhere just because you think it's right. You know, if we could all just agree to disagree and move on, I think that would be ideal. You know, just like the apartment analogy from before.
Yep.
So.
All that being said. I was trying to come up with an analogy about sticking your nose in places where it doesn't belong, but I am too slow.
Oh, that's okay. If you've ever called the police, if you've ever called the police when you are not in danger, if you've ever called an enforcer, like if they have enforcement, the title code enforcement, whatever,
go to hell.
You're the worst. If you wanted to be a resident associate at a university or some other mid-level or low-level bureaucrat, you know, you're kind of the worst, and we don't want you here. And I can't imagine what kind of hellish puppet panopticon state it would be for you to go live in there. But you know what? I want you to be happy. I still care about you. I care about you so much that I want you away from me and to go do your own thing. And I don't think that's too much to ask. And realistically, you know, I think this is just also just needs to be said. This is going to happen anyway. You know what?
Right.
When people get fed up with it and they want to live their own way, you know what they do?
They do it.
And more importantly, the reason you never hear about it is because that's the fastest way to get your lifestyle ruined. You shut up about it. So maybe one day this will be coming to you from an oil platform off the coast of none of your business.
Mm-hmm.
And you can just deal with it and know that we're having a great time and you can just be mad. And I hope to no end that it ruins your life. So,
wow.
Yeah. We're
salt detected.
Salt detected. Unapologetic. Yeah. It's true. I do derive some joy watching busybodies like seething over the fact that they can't do anything about it.
Yes. Coming face to face with reality.
Or when the agents of enforcement that they are calling upon to
turn on them.
Turn on them.
Yes.
Yes. I love it.
Oh, you're actually just being a jerk. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Like the videos of the person who's sitting in the park fishing, fishing videos, people just fishing and people getting super butthurt about it for some reason.
Yeah, I don't understand that.
I don't get why. How is that that common? How are there thousands of videos of a person with a GoPro fishing and then someone walking at me like, you can't fish here.
But I am, though.
But I am, though. I'm calling the police. Go for it. That's the thing. If you've ever said the phrase, I'm calling the police.
That's like the internet rule where if you're about to leave someplace, you have to announce that you're leaving. Or if you're putting someone on your ignore list.
Yeah, I'm blocking you.
I'm blocking you. It's pathetic.
God, that reminds me of like being in Call of Duty lobbies when I was a child and being like
reported.
Wow. Yeah, reported. No, it's like this, like, I'm reporting you. I muted this guy. Anyone else? Make sure he knows that he's muted. He's still talking. He's muted. And I can't hear him.
Right.
Even though like they're listening to it through
the
television.
Is he still going on over there? Yeah.
Even though in reality,
you never muted him.
That person is listening through their, like, they have their TV speakers on and we can hear me. I can hear me talking through your speaker. So I know you haven't muted me, you nerd. Face me like a man.
You coward.
You coward. I demand satisfaction. Again, that's why dueling should be legal. If you've got a problem with it, I'll see you on the knoll. Appoint your second, you know, I'll see you by the river at dawn. We're going to figure this out. I know. Well, that. I think
this horse is sufficiently beaten.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to open that can. I was about to ask you, like, would you be okay with, like, dueling being legal? What if it was, like, non-lethal dueling?
Non-lethal dueling?
I mean, that actually is legal. It's called an organized fight event.
Right. Yeah, that's not a problem.
It's also becoming way more popular.
I know. We really do live in the dumbest timeline. That should be another episode.
We should do a comparison between, like, Rome and right before its collapse and us now, because I feel
that
like
that would be very interesting.
I feel like there's some interesting similarities, you know, instead of like back in the day when you're a Roman aristocrat hiring gladiators to entertain people. Holy crap. It is just like that. Oh my God.
Well, that bit of, not quite existential dread.
I'll see you at the Elon Musk's Mark Zuckerberg boxing match. Philosophers.
If you like the music in this episode, please check out Jippy on Bandcamp at jippy.bandcamp.com.
Philosophers is supported by viewers like you.
If there's a topic you'd like us to discuss,
or a topic you'd like to see revisited in the future,
please let us know by contacting us using the methods in the description,
or in the comments below. Thank you for listening.